Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside hour three of the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
I'm an ass man.
It's true.
It is the ninth anniversary of a very, very important moment in the world of sports, a touchstone moment of the world of sports. But before we get to that, you know, I got to draw the line somewhere, Mike Harmon. I got to draw the line, okay? It was last week, Noah Syndergaard left the Mets for a one-year deal with the Angels for $21 million.
Sure.
Okay. A few hours ago, Aaron Loop, who had a great year for the Mets, reliever, is going to make more money with the Angels this year than he made his entire Major League Baseball career, leaving the Mets for the Angels. Okay. After
Can't
that happened.
That. Go get your nut. Absolutely.
Okay. I get it, right? No, that's fine. I understand, right? You're going to pay $10 million a year for a reliever. Last time we did that, it was Familia. It didn't work out. So now, very enterprising people on the internet have gotten Stroman to Anaheim trending because they said, well, let's see. Last two pitchers for the Mets hit free agency, signed with us. Marcus Stroman, who had a really good year last year, let's go get Marcus Stroman. So now there's Marcus Stroman. He's photoshopped an Angels hat and everything else. Marcus Stroman to Anaheim is trending. Now, it's not known if he's going to go there, but they're getting it trending. Okay. I'm still okay. Still okay. Here's where I draw the line. People are now putting on social media. We're taking everybody the Mets had. We'd like to welcome in Mr. Met to Anaheim. And Mr. Met in full Angels gear with an Angels helmet on. That's where I draw the line. You do not get Mr. Met. The only thing the Mets have going for them, besides DeGrom, is Mr. Met. You can't get Mr. I'm seeing Mr. Met in an Angels game. I'm like, oh, my God, that looks awful. It just looks like a big-headed baseball. No, you don't get Mr. Met. That's where you've now where all you people happy in Anaheim over, oh, look at all these guys we're getting. They were taking chances on. Yeah, no, that's where I come down to Anaheim and I clean house.
Look at you.
That's what I do. You don't take
I tell
Mr.
you what,
Met.
He's one hell of an upgrade over the rally monkey. So the question becomes, I mean, I don't know. Can mascots become free agents? The man or woman inside the swollen head of Mr. or Mrs. Met could become a free agent, but the
hey, swollen
themselves.
Methead, how'd you like to move to Anaheim? I don't know. Okay, great. You know we're going to keep Mr. Met.
I don't know. Can you trade him? Like when Costanza, as the assistant to the traveling secretary, got traded for some fermented chicken?
No, his name is Mr. Met. You can't trade a guy whose name is the name of the team.
You can change your name.
Is he Mr.
You can
Angel
do that
then?
Legally.
Is he Mr. Angel? That sounds like a John Wick villain, Mr. Angel. Is he Mr. Halo?
That
also sounds like a John
dude
Wick
from Grease, beauty school dropout.
Go back to high school. No, Frankie Valli was the teen angel. He was teen angel. That's what he was in Greece. I believe, no, that was his character. He was teen angel.
No, you're
That's
right. No,
look it up.
I just really thought I could get you to sing a little bit of beauty school dropout. So
go back to
victory
high
me
school.
On a Monday.
And TJ, certainly some players with the dream, but not the drive, end up in Anaheim. All right. You don't get Mr. Met. You do not get Mr. Met. Doesn't happen.
Well, it's a bold strategy.
It is. We're going to take Mr. Wait, we're going to come in and take Mr.
We're
Met
just
going to
take your soul. Mr. Met's with us now.
Some reliever no one's ever heard of.
Hey, but you know
for
what?
Mets fans. Now
hey,
Mr.
but they
Met.
Finally got bold, did the Angels. We're signing some pitchers, and you know what? We're taking your bleeping mascot, too. What's wrong with that? Take it out
They're
the heart
the
and soul. Look, the rest
too?
Of your squad stinks. I don't want them. I mean, you got Billy Epler.
Man.
He's coming in to run things. But you know what? He's going to do it without a mascot.
Nah,
he's first
got to
find
go.
A new identity for this team.
Yeah. I mean, what? Hey, we're paying Bobby Bonilla. This guy can show up at the park and do some stuff and entertain the crowd. Just like kind of, you know, hit fungos to them. If instead of a ball, it's like a prize. And we're going to pay Bonilla to do that. We're going to trot by. Bonilla's going to wave to you guys. It's going to be great.
It's like all the old contracts that had, wait a minute, I got to do five of these personal appearance things. What does that mean? So you're going to talk to a bunch of kids and women about catching. All right, here, look at this bruise I got. Yes, Carlton Fisk did that famously. This is what it's like catching. Whoa, why is he dropping? Yeah, look at that bruise. I guess that's kind of where we're at in the process as you worry about whether your mascot's going to leave.
Twitter at AlBatafresca. Mike at Swollen Dome. The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. Really, you trade Mr. Met. I mean, I have lots of stuff with Mr. Met on it. I mean, I don't want to have to say, got to throw it out now. I gotta get a hat with Bobby Bonilla's face on it.
You should get one made anyway.
You know what? I was just going to say that if you're looking for a Christmas present for me, a Mets hat with Bobby Bonilla's face on it, that would be great. I would love. I wonder if you could do that. Let me see. Mets hat, Bobby Bonilla's face.
If it doesn't exist, we can make. We can speak that into existence. There's plenty of places that we can get a digital likeness of Bobby Bonilla. You know what? When I go back to Universal Studios tomorrow, I'll get a caricature artist. I'm like, draw me this picture of Bobby Bonilla. And then I'll have it put on a hat with a Mets logo by the end of the day. Done. Commerce.
877-99 on Fox is the number. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So Monday Night Football, we watched the Buccaneers beat the Giants 30-10. And it was a big win for Tampa, a big loss for the Giants. But not as big a loss as the anniversary we're going to celebrate now. It was 9 years ago tonight. You were probably settling in and after finishing Thanksgiving dinner, getting ready to watch the night football game. Looked like it could be pretty good. You know, the Patriots are always really good. Oh, Jets have been to a couple AFC championship games in a row. Oh, this is going to be pretty good. And as a result, we got this play, which will now live forever.
Tom Moore, then at Indianapolis, the offensive coordinator. You got a busted play here. And then Sanchez gets hit. The ball is loose and it's alive.
I have never seen this before in my life. Watch this. Vince Wilfork is going to throw Brandon Moore back into his quarterback. He's going to fumble the football. This is what Reggie White used to do to people, forklift them and just lift them off the ground. Mark Sanchez not expecting it, and it was the backside of Brandon Moore that knocked the ball out.
Okay. I'm going to dispel a long-term belief about this play that is simply not true. You hear the description there, and you see the play, and you think, oh, Vince Wilfork, you know, just pushed Brandon Moore, and Mark Sanchez ran into him, and it was unexpected. The ball pops out. And Stephen Gregory, pride of Curtis High School and Syracuse University, both of my alma maters, runs it back for a touchdown. Vince Wilfork did not do that. That did not happen. Mark Sanchez, our teammate here at Fox Sports Radio, why he ran into Brandon Moore, I have no idea. Watch the play. You watch the play. It's a busted play. Sanchez looking to hand off. It doesn't happen. He turns to run the football. Vince Wilfork and Brandon Moore are kind of standing each other up, right? So it's not Vince Wilfork is pushing Brandon Moore back and pushes him into a lane. Mark Sanchez simply runs into Brandon Moore. He could run to the right where he would gain another yard or two before he gets tackled. But for some reason, he runs right into Brandon Moore. When Brandon Moore starts to fall down, when Vince Wilfork pushes him over, is after Sanchez already hits him. So that's when, yeah, okay, you're going to push him over there when somebody hits you from behind and you're falling backwards. That's when Vince Wilfork pushes him over. But up until that, Vince Wilfork and Brandon Moore are kind of fighting each other and they're standing up. And for some reason, Mark Sanchez, with the football, decides to run right into the back of him. He could have run into a little bit of a hole and gone in for a tackle. For some reason, he just runs right into the back of Brandon Moore. And I don't understand why. I'll never understand why. How do you just decide to run into the back of your offensive lineman, and you have the ball pretty good in your hands? You know you are running into traffic. You're not running around the outside and you're holding the ball a little bit loose. You know as a quarterback you got to hold on to the ball. Sanchez had really big hands, right? That was the one big thing about him coming out of college. He's got big hands, hold on to the football, can throw it far. And I don't know why he did it. And I don't know. And it's a play that when I saw it, I knew they're going to play this forever. The world could end, and it could be millions of years before we see life on the planet again, where you're talking about humans upright, because we have to go back to being fish and then grow legs and come out of the ocean. And still, somebody would find an old, the first thing they would find would be an old videotape, and they'd say, football follies. What was football? Let's put this in. Oh, let's create a machine that we can watch this. And the first thing they will see is the butt fumble. It forever. Absolutely forever. But that's how the play went. Don't think it was something where this superhuman thing Vince Wilfork did. It was a, watch the play and you will see. He's standing up and Mark Sanchez just runs into his lineman. And I really don't understand how that happened.
Well, it's the stuff of legend now. What the story really was doesn't matter anymore. You can't try to rewrite this. But you didn't try to go be a lecturer around the country going, you know, they really got this one wrong. And then you follow it up with like 45 minutes on taunting penalties and why they're wrong. You know, the Monday Night Football game. Pass is intercepted. He's down at the 39. Look, he and 10 of his closest buddies just ran 60 yards to the other end of the end zone to point and pose for pictures. And no taunting. That happened again tonight. Just start keeping count of the team celebrations in this nonsense. But, you know, I've now watched the play another 40 times. And you're right. I think they're both fighting. But for Sanchez, perhaps he thought maybe he'd get, right? Might not have been as dramatic, but what are you doing? You're getting in there and sell. Because that audio is going to live forever. Right, people don't have always have the ability to YouTube it in the moment to get the video recollection of it. No, of course, then the butt fumble ensues.
You know, and,
so you
and
can't change history, buddy.
No, I can't. I can't.
You can't kill rock and roll. That's what Ozzy's saying. And you can't change this history.
Touchdowns in like 21 seconds.
Oh yeah, no, it was one of the most absurd. Yeah. Turns of events ever.
It was the gifts of the butt fumble. Am I getting now? Yeah, I get it. You know, it's like
you
two
know,
days
it's nice
a year.
That many people really
checking with me in the summer. Hey, see how you doing? And butt fumble day. And it's always, hey, happy butt fumble day. Oh, by the way, happy birthday. Sorry, I missed it 4 days ago. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, it was great. How was your birthday? Great. Yeah, went out to dinner. But those are the 2 days a year people always. My family checks in on me. It's like, oh, let's make sure, Jace. Maybe a little bit of a text at Christmas with a couple of them, but not really. No. Now they're. Oh, I'm good, Jason. The end of November. You know, the thing is, I start explaining that, and then it's like, see, when you try to explain something to a child, and after like 5 seconds, they just lose interest and just look somewhere else and go, yeah, I don't care anymore. You know, it's actually business-wise, it was pretty good sense. What? Yes, because here's the thing is that if they paid him out for his regular contract, and then they just, the eyes just look away, and I go, oh, God, I've just lost you. I really am. When I'm coaching the girls in soccer and I know, okay, I have like cross before they just decide, okay, I'm looking at something
done.
Else, right? I'm done. I'm like, okay, I got 10 and I get this. Okay. Do we have, and now I'm looking over, I'm looking down at my shoe. I'm looking, oh, I saw a bird fly. It's like, oh my God, I have so time. I have so like that, that's that story. So what happened is, and then when you talk about the rates of inflation and when you get, then they, yeah, they're bud fumble. Mule.
Sounds about right. Mule. Got to get the mule in there. That's the key.
Twitter at Albata Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Dealing with a dead battery? Head to AutoZone, America's number one battery destination. They offer free battery services like free battery testing and free battery charging. Their free battery testing can help you know if you need a new battery or not. And if you do happen to need a replacement battery, they can help with that too. They got reliable replacement batteries starting at just $79.99, and they're the only place you can find proven, tough, Duralast batteries. So next time you're having battery trouble, head to AutoZone, your battery solution, and America's number one battery destination. Straight ahead, we get back into Monday Night Football. This game isn't what you think it was, and one question that has continued to baffle me now going on a decade in the NFL when it comes to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski. That's next right here, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hello, friend.
Tonight, two big questions coming off of Monday. Well, actually, two big observations. One big question coming off of Monday Night Football. The Giants lose in typical Giants fashion. Well, kind of how you expected this game to go. Look, the game was really
great.
If you're
going to fail, fail spectacularly.
It was Brady on Monday Night Football. Brady throws for 300, and the Bucs just kind of slowly pull away from the Giants 30-10. Mm-hmm. But I have to be honest. If I'm looking for the big winner in tonight's game, I was hypnotized by the Giants uniforms on Monday night, the throwback unis, the color rush that they wear. They're the same jerseys the Giants wore in the 1990s. I can't really judge how I'm going to feel about uniforms until I see them. Because I'm just going, oh, that looks like a great uniform. And then you look at it and go, the uniforms just look okay. But these Giants uniforms, oh, my God, they were so great. I mean, these are the replicas of when they, the 80s into the 90s, when they won a couple of Super Bowls. And even the grass stains on the jerseys and on the pants look exactly the same. Because that's the thing, is the pants look the same. Normally, when you get a team wearing throwbacks, the pants don't look the same. The pants look like, well, we're going to kind of keep an updated version of that. No. The pants look exactly like the pants the Giants wore in the 90s. These jerseys were just so great. I fully expected to see Banks and LT and Jim Burt and Mark Collins and Pepper Johnson and Harry Carson and all these Giants legends that we're going to start seeing coming up after making in that tackle hearing. John Madden say Jim Burt with another big tackle in the backfield of this game. The 49ers are having trouble with Roger Craig. Hey, Roger Craig. But Jim Burt is in the backfield on every play for the Giants on this end. Not far behind is Harry Carson. Look, wherever Jim Burt is, Harry Carson is not far behind. You see. That's really what I was expecting tonight on the game.
Should have just put up a makeshift cornfield coming out of your tunnel. Oh, I hope something else walks through.
Those jerseys
we coax it out,
glorious.
Just play some music and make this work for us.
It was.
Here comes Brandon Jacobs. Oh, you know, guys that run the ball with power and authority.
Yeah,
I know,
but you gotta
he only
go
wore
back.
Those
That's
as
like
a throwback once or twice, but I'm trying to build a team that can go out and win.
Yeah, well, listen, you want Joe Morris or Rodney Hampton running the Giants, right?
Now that's you're talking.
One. Yeah, there you go. You got Mark Bavaro at tight end. Okay, and then you have a myriad of guys who are just okay, you know, playing wide receiver for the Giants. A bunch of guys who were just okay. It was the defense they were built on. That's all it was. The defense was Gary Reasons, and it was watching. I felt like I watched all those guys play 10 years each for the Giants, and seeing these jerseys is just, it takes you back to sometimes jerseys can transport you. And all I did watching the early part of this game was just think about. I expect to see Phil Sims or Jeff Hostetler, you know, come out here in uniform. And just thinking back about how great the Giants were in the late 80s and early 90s, it was Giants 49ers every year. And then it went to 49ers Cowboys and how good the Giants defense was. And they stayed together for a long time in Parcells. I mean, certain moments just do it for you. And I can't tell when it's coming, but as soon as I turn on the TV tonight, and maybe it was part because it was a night game, because, look, the Giants were always on Monday Night Football in the 80s and the 90s. They were, because, you know, they were good. They were on three or four times a year. They were on against the Cowboys. They were on against the 49ers. Another game they were usually on. Giants were the Giants. Oh, man, it was just some kind of throwback night with that. They should go with these jerseys every single night. It would be fantastic.
Well, nice gleam off of those lights on Monday Night Football as well. Look, class it up, especially when you're terrible. Just keep mixing it up. What are we going to do next?
At least you look good.
We found a swatch of old fabric from the 40s. All right, make those uniforms. We got something else we could sell. Literally, we could go and sell those in the team shops, but at least they're not talking about how terrible we are. Because you know what they could do? Montage after montage, like it's a damn Rocky movie, of all the greats of Giants history. How about that?
Look what I just found in the attic. Oh, I tell you, this is just fabric. This is like 30 yards of fabric. Make something out of it. All right, I'll make throwback uniforms for the Giants. Needle, thread, stat.
Dude, there have been so many reality series with that premise. I got a bolt of fabric. Do something with it. How about that? Found it in our equipment room. Not quite sure if it came from a jersey or an old pair of pants. But you know what?
Now, wait,
you're
going to
find out. You're going to super sleuth it, and now we go.
Now, wait, is that really – that could be a reality show called Bolt of Fabric. And you find it, and someone – and you have to – like, it's found somewhere – in someone's attic, whatever, and people have to compete, whoever can make the best clothing item off of it.
There you go.
I like that.
It's not
that.
Quite show me your lightning bolts, but it's
bolt
close.
Bolt of fabric. No, I like that. Bolt of fabric is pretty good. I dig that.
Know your bolts.
Twitter it out about a fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. Now, the other thing from this game, and this is what has baffled me and continues to baffle me, and I'm using the word baffle a lot tonight, but I like baffle. It's a fun word to use. Look, we mentioned Brady, and he had a big night tonight, 307 yards, couple of touchdowns, and the biggest night receiving, you had Mike Evans with 6 catches for 73 yards, and Rob Gronkowski. 6 catches for 71 yards, especially in the first half. He was really big when the Buccaneers were pushing out that lead. And Mike Evans Moore had his catches. You got a touchdown in the second half to help them pull away. But first half, it was Brady and Gronk the entire half. And it looked like it was back in their heyday in New England. And this is what I really fail to understand. I really want to talk to a defensive coordinator and say, tell me why this still happens. Because Rob Gronkowski's been a Hall of Fame tight end in the NFL for over a decade now, right? He came into the league out of Arizona and he had an okay rookie year, and then suddenly he was great. And it worked, and Gronk was doing everything. And sure enough, we've seen a lot of plays of him making where he goes up and he's between two defenders and he makes a great play coming down because he's so big, because he's 6'6", 270, and he's able to push the DBs aside or able to make a play one-on-one against a linebacker because he's more athletic. Look, those plays I understand, right? I get those. But how many times do I have to watch? And it happened 3 times in the first half. Here's an ISO on Rob Gronkowski. And Gronk doesn't get off the line of scrimmage particularly fast, right? In a league where, you know, the minutiae that is paid attention to sometimes, oh, this guy can't get off the line of scrimmage, we can't draft him. Meanwhile, it takes Gronkowski about 8 seconds to get off the line of scrimmage, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't get off the line of scrimmage fast. What does he do? He kind of runs by a couple of people and who are doing something, and then the one player who it looks like he's covering him passes him off to somebody. And Gronk just runs, and nobody is around him. And Brady throws to him, and Gronkowski doesn't have anybody within 10 yards of him. And I don't understand for the life of me how the guy's been in the league this long. He's been great for so long. How does he run unopposed in the other team's secondary as often as he does? Again, hard to miss him because he's 6'5", 270, but he does this all the time. And you'd think at some point a team would say, all right, well, we got to make sure we watch Gronkowski. Now, I get with the Bucs, you have other players. You got to watch Evans. You have to watch Godwin. But this is a guy in the middle of the field, and you kind of have to know where he is because he's a pretty big weapon and has been a pretty big weapon. And you know he's a guy that Brady trusts. So when it comes down to it, he's going to look for him. At least make the throws difficult. I look and go, how is nobody within 10 yards of this guy? Okay, Tyreek Hill I get because no one can keep up with the guy. The guy's so fast. I get how he gets separation. Gronk just kind of, and this is what he's always done. He's just kind of lumbered out into the middle of the field and then turned to, hey, I'm open. Nobody is near me for some reason. Throw me the football. And he does it all the time. You know, that's the genius of Gronk that is unexplainable. How defenses continue to lose him on the field so often like they do. 3 and 4 plays a game. Where's Gronk? Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah, we should have had him. All right. What about the next time? Yeah, we should have had him there. Okay, now the guy's got 5 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. How come you're not on him? How is he so wide open? These are the mysteries of life, Mike Harmon.
Brady, I'm going to keep it simple. As you alluded to, he's certainly in Tampa. A lot of distribution, which means you can't double up, and the safeties can't commit there necessarily, right? It's the, all right, we'll give him the 6-yard reception, because you saw that in the Monday night game, and certainly a lot of the time this year, you take your shots downfield with others, and he does still run the seam well after he gets moving, right? It's just a little slower. It's like the train, right? Once the body gets in motion, now he starts cruising, and once he gets ahead of steam, now it's a problem. The other part is, I'll just equate it here as best I can. We've done it, I think, at the wide receiver position most frequently in our time together on the airwaves of celebrating the player that Anquan Boldin was, right? One of the greatest box-out receivers you're ever going to see. You need a 3rd and 7, he's setting up just beyond the sticks, and he's getting wide, right? Whatever. He's going to find a way to get his gloves on the ball, get you that first down, and move the chains. And I think the other is just the sheer will of force of a Shaquille O'Neal. You're not getting between me and the football. And if he can get a hand on it, he's making a play on you. And at this point, there have been so many reps between he and Brady that they just look at each other for half a second. It's like, all right, yeah, there's the knowing nod, and now you're in trouble.
Gronk isn't pushing anybody out of the way. He's just running, and people say, okay, there goes Gronk.
He runs free off the line, but then if you do try to come over the top bottom, he knows how to shield you so you can't get a hand in.
Yeah, but no, but
this is... We saw a couple of those throws today.
But this is still him running around and people just deciding, I'm going to let him run by me. There's somebody else I got
to
look at.
Are you going to go up and try to chuck him?
No.
I mean, unless he's made, you truly believe he's now made of glass.
You know, no, you go stand.
The guy does have a very long injury list at this point, but you're not moving him.
Listen, and this is like the third time I've referenced my soccer coaching career today. Is what I would do is I would say.
You're having a hell of a run, evidently.
Like when I was first coaching the younger girls, right? And they, you know, when they have the corner kick or something, and I'd yell, the girl would say, I don't know what to do. I'd go stand next to that girl. Go stand next to number 11. Go stand next to 15. Okay.
I saw you earlier today. You were leaning up against a post, and you told me you were tired, and that's where I want you on this corner kick.
Go stand next to 17. Don't let her get the ball. I would tell a DB, go stand next to 87. All right, wherever he, just go where he goes so he can't throw the ball to him. Go stand there. I mean, but he did that in New England when he didn't really have a lot of weapons, and then he had weapons, and he still did it, and then he lost weapons, and he still did it. No matter what, I'm just going to find a way to, I'm open. No other tight end is that. No other tight end in the NFL just runs off the line of scrimmage and just goes to a place, hey, I'm open. No other guy does that. It's not like he's doing anything amazing. It's not like his moves off the line and look at what he does. You can't chuck him off the line. No, I'm just going to wait, and I'll wait like sometimes 2.5 seconds before I get more than 3 yards downfield, which is an eternity, and you can't do that. But he finds a way to do it. It's unexplainable.
He lulls you to sleep, man.
It's unexplainable.
Rock-a-bye,
man.
Baby.
I don't understand. Don't get it. Twitter it out about a fresca. Mike, it's Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Let's find out what's trending. Since we can't – see, usually we like to answer all the questions we ask here on the show, but this – I need a defensive coordinator to come clean and go, hey, this is why we can't, Jace. I'm sorry, man. I know we should be able to, but we can't.
Is this one of the big conspiracies you're throwing out there about the NFL? You've been told that Gronk, because he and Gordy and his brothers are good for the game, that they need to be left alone. Is that what you're trying to insinuate here?
Yes, the NFL is thinking about Gordy Gronkowski. That they want to make sure he's okay.
I hadn't gotten Gordo in a while, so there you go. I win.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo.
And the best news is, well, with everything over in sports tonight, we got all finals everywhere, I could put grease on my iPad in front of me. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. See, we brought it up earlier, and now bring it on home.
Oh, getting ready for the hand jive. Born to hand jive, baby. The Cowboys lost yesterday.
Yeah, they did.
I thought the Cowboys were going to win. They were my upset special pick of the week.
I know, buddy.
The NFL, they did not come through for me. College, I was great. NFL, not so much. Now the narratives have flipped. Everybody loves the Chiefs. Tap the brakes on the Chiefs. But the Cowboys now are struggling. Why are they struggling? I'll tell you the real problem, and it's something that... Can they solve it? You really need somebody to do something they haven't done so far. The Cowboys are struggling because they're not mentally strong enough to handle and to be able to grind out wins in the NFL week after week, which is what the good teams do. The really good teams, when they're dinged up, which the Cowboys are dinged up a little bit, they find a way to win. Cardinals have found a way to win 2 or 3 without Kyler Murray and DeAndre Hopkins. So,
Paul McCoy, baby.
When you're hurt,
you built a roster, right?
Yeah. Listen, you got to stop with the, oh, when you're hurt, you can't win. No, clearly teams do it. You're able to cover for when you're a good team, you grind it out. The Cowboys can't do it. Look at their last two losses, right? They lost to Denver for why? Because they came in extremely overconfident. Off the bye, this is it. We're going to win by 50, and they get it handed to them. Now the big matchup against the Chiefs, they should be able to take advantage of a really bad Chiefs defense, which has been playing a little bit better the last few weeks. And what happens? They get hit in the mouth early, they get out-physical, and the Cowboys have no answers. Okay, post-game, you already have Jerry Jones saying, hey, when our injured guys get back, like he can guarantee no one's going to get hurt the rest of the season. When our injured guys return, I've already gotten word from the NFL, none of our players are going to be injured the rest of the season because the NFL knows they need us in the playoffs for that revenue share and for that money. Don't worry, everything is fine. The Cowboys are mentally fragile. As good a player as Dak Prescott is he that kind of leader that they need to grab the team by the scruff of the neck and say, now we got to go out and win? It's what Tom Brady does. It's what Russell Wilson normally does. What Cam Newton did for a while, right? Is Mike McCarthy that kind of head coach, even though they've assembled incredible talent offensively, that can instill a, this is how we're going to grind it out? They can't. They can't answer those questions. They can't be tough enough when it counts. And when things are going well, it's great, right? But many teams in the NFL went off of that. But when you struggle and you either get hit in the mouth or you're not in the game with a positive, the right frame of mind, in the NFL, you're going to get beat. That's how it goes. That's where the any given Sunday line comes from. And that's what happens to the Cowboys. They're not mentally strong enough to be able to gut out games when things aren't going their way. Teams with less talent that they should be able to beat and take advantage of, they don't. And it happens to them all the time. And already, Jerry Jones is out with the excuses. No, we're hurt. I don't want anybody to think, to think that it's anything other than being hurt. As soon as guys are healthy, they're healthy. Okay, got it. Right. Got it. You see the panic that's going on. The Cowboys need that kind of leadership. They need to change that mentality. Because when I watch them play against Denver and against Kansas City, they're shrugging their shoulders. Don't know why it's not working. I don't know. That's exactly the body language of what I get from the Cowboys every week when things don't go their way. And eventually, you're going to play a team that's going to not make you have things go your way, and you need to adapt and adjust, and the Cowboys won't do it. They don't have enough, let's get down in the dirt and grind a game out when we have to. They just don't have that in them, and that's a difficult thing because this is a year for them, right? Like I said, talented offensively, they're terrific, they're fantastic, but they don't have that, and all teams that win have that element inside them. The Ravens didn't have Lamar Jackson. They went out and won yesterday. They found a way. I mean, they played the Bears, but they found a way to win, right? The Bears lost their quarterback. Find a way to do it when you're a really good team. It's a load of crap that, if we're hurt, we can't win. No, you just seen it in the NFL. You just seen it on Sunday. Teams that go in with hurt, they wind up coming out and winning games. It happens that way. And this is the problem with the Cowboys. If they could find a way to gut it out, just find that whatever that missing ingredient is that allows them to be confident and play with knowledge that if things don't go well, we can do it, they'd be great, but they're not mentally strong enough.
What's difficult about it, and you cited the Jerry Jones bit of, hey, when we get healthy, remember after the Denver game, he actually got pretty critical of the coaching staff and the players, lackadaisical terms of that nature, and doing his media rounds and call them out. They respond and they take care of business against a really bad Atlanta team. So you don't really take a whole lot of stock in that. But, you know, I wonder if you're trying to learn the identity of the squad, but you're also looking ahead. You know, as we made mention a little bit earlier in relation to the Giants and just where you're at if you're the Cowboys, you still have a lot of division games left. I mean, you hold the cards to your end game here, at least as far as the regular season goes. When it goes to actually playing good teams, well, who knows? Losses this year are to Tampa and Kansas City, and then you've got Denver. I think Denver's better. I mean, look, Vic Fangio, down distance timeouts and motivating opponents by saying things backhanded or, well, behind the backs of, telling out of school, for lack of a better term, things that were said to him in confidence by other coaches. And on any given Sunday, if the run game can get together a little bit and Teddy Bridgewater isn't forced to pretend to tackle, people are really mad at him. Like, that's not his job. But the fact is that they're still a decent team. So you haven't exactly lost and gotten punched in the mouth by really terrible teams like some of the teams we put us top the standings or any of the, you know, high up top five lists that we love to do. So you got that going for you. But Mike McCarthy, is he your guy, right? Dan Quinn on the defensive side, I think you have a lot of faith that you know, he's making the most and that's where he's comfortable. Mike McCarthy, the day might have set sail on him.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there's my speech to the Cowboys. Now go do it and go win. Coming up next, we get back into another quarterback from Monday Night Football, but not the one you think.